thank you very much for joining us slightly belatedly to look ahead to day two at Doncaster. We've got very busy men on this From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Connelly, and I'm joined today by Paddy Power, by Matt Chapman, and swinging in, replacing Ruby Walsh, and Ruby's been in good form recently, Ryan McHugh from the trading department. Ryan, the last time I think I got you to join was for your Toxers Midlands national meeting, which you said was like being brought on as a substitute when you're 3-0 up in the 89th minute after Cheltenham, of course. Bit more pressure on you this time.
Yeah, I think I remember I napped the winner that day. That's probably why you called me back on.
That was the John O'Neill horse, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I come on as a late sub that day, but I think I'm starting today looking at the quality of racing we're going.
Exactly. Fair play to you. Mr. Chapman, how are you? Busy week?
Yeah, really busy. Off to Doncaster and looking forward to all the action there. And, of course, the Irish at the weekend. Lots going on. And, of course, the big news. Of course, the Frankie Dettori will be riding Snowfall in the Arc de Triomphe. And Ryan Moore not even going for the race, which seems very strange to me. But anyway, that's all to come. This is the stage of the flat season where it kind of winds down, but it actually winds up, if you see what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. I love what this stage of the season. We get loads of Group 1s or 2-year-olds. We have international racing. And if we have international racing, let's talk to the man of the international racing, the man who's been to Hong Kong and Dubai and Australia, Paddy Power. How are you?
Great, PK. How are you getting on?
Oh, fantastic. And thank you very much for taking over the podcast last week. Ruby Walsh from Matt Chapman said you were brilliant because you were quick.
I was quick, yeah, because I did absolutely zero preparation. That's why I was quick. I had nothing
to
add.
We're not falling for that, Patrick. We know that Paddy likes nothing better than giving a winner out on this and showing all the so-called experts, because let's face it, Paddy's here just for entertainment. He's not here as an expert, how it's done. So don't believe a word of it, folks. He puts the work in. You don't have a mantelpiece like that behind you unless you put work in.
It is quite the mantelpiece. Paddy, just before you jump back in, I want to talk to you about something that by the time this podcast goes out in a few hours, you will be on Virgin Media 2 at 8 o'clock in Ireland and then on the Paddy Power YouTube channel. For anyone, it is a brilliant look ahead to the Irish Champions weekend. Who is on the show?
Yeah, well, it actually wasn't a look ahead. It was a look back. It was myself and Fran Berry interviewed the great Mick Kanaan. And funny, you haven't seen much of him on media because, and I just assumed he was very quiet and quite reserved. He was absolutely brilliant. He was like riveting to talk to. And it's definitely worth a watch. Nothing to do with my amazing interviewing skills, just the insights he gave into things like his split from Coolmore, the rivalry with Godolphin, the Falbrav incident in the Champion Stakes, the kind of team tactics incidents where with Fantastic Light and all that. And just talking about See the Stars as well. It's just like, honestly, it really was a privilege to talk to the man. And I just watched a cut of it today. It's probably not the final cut, but yeah, I mean, apart from my bits, it really is a good watch. Like it's like a typical Mick Kanaan ride. It starts slow enough with Vintage Crop and then it picks up lovely towards the end when you get to See the Stars. So it's a great one for nostalgia and a great one to get the juices flowing for the weekend.
Very much looking forward to it. I've also seen a couple of cuts from it. You actually have the entire bag of popcorn still untouched by the end of it. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I was, you know, I'm an athlete now, you know. I have to be careful what I put into this temple of a body that I have, you know.
Yeah, it's in a cinema.
Patrick, it's because it was a prop.
I don't know.
Paddy wouldn't buy real popcorn, would he? He wouldn't spend the money on that.
He definitely didn't buy it, that's for sure. What is this corned pop? Okay, right, gentlemen, let's talk Doncaster. And then we'll have a quick look ahead to Irish Champions Weekend, the Saturday anyway. Let's look at Doncaster, though. Excellent card on Thursday. We kick off with the Fillies Nursery. Big day for Fillies. There's some really good races. It's the 140. I'll give you a quick rundown of the prices. Summer's Day is 100-30, been well-backed. 9-2, Daiquiri Francaise, Jesus, stay to me. 5-1, Nat Ali, Dora Penny, 6-1, 10-1, Minamulka, and Form of Praise, and 12-1, Bigger the Rest. Now, Matt, I haven't read your blog this time, so you're going to surprise me with loads of each way winners this time.
Well, possibly. I can't say I found this race particularly easy. And I've probably been slightly swayed that the horse I picked, I've watched run twice at Windsor this season, but I've gone with Daiquiri Francaise. Seems to have caught connection slightly by surprise because was a big price winner at Windsor the first time the horse won there. And then it basically won and ran, as the odds suggested, on the second start. So it's 1-2 out of 3. She goes for Rafe Beckett and Rob Hornby, who proved a good combination. I thought she had each-way claims. She probably isn't an each-way price. at the odds you've just read out, but I'd hope she'd be there or thereabouts, and her two wins have come on varying different grounds. So if the ground does change on Thursday, and it is changeable weather, heat wave on Wednesday in the UK, but there is rain forecast for Donny on Thursday. So, and we know Paddy's the expert, of course, on the weather on this podcast. So we'll wait to see what he says and then go with the opposite. But whatever the ground, Daiquiri Francais should have a chance. But I mean, this is in, I wouldn't even put my big toe on this, let alone my life.
Okay, fair enough. Matt is sipping a daiquiri in the late summer sun. Paddy Power?
Yeah, I started with actually with Dora, Penny, Top Weight and Nursery and all that kind of stuff. But then the more I flicked down through them, I kind of honed in pretty convincingly from in my own head on Summer's Day. I just think looks to be on a real upward trend.
That's the favourite then for Paddy?
It's a favourite. It's 130. Probably, it wasn't favourite when I was tipping it, when I was doing the doing my little study earlier on today.
I love the way you've honed in, Paddy. You've sat there literally for hours and hours and hours.
You did say
it doesn't
ended
up. With the favourite. Well done. Yeah.
The Fav, unnamed Fav. No, I think just upper trend and the stable. The stable is so in form. If you look at the last 14 days, running that title, it was 30-something percent or something like that. So, you know, bang in form stable. Really impressive last time as well. It was fourth, then second, then first on the proper upward curve. And 130, I think, is more than fair.
Okay. A Daiquiri Francais for Matt, a Summer's Day for Paddy. Mr. McHugh.
Yeah, I'm with Matt here. I'm probably a little bit more sweeter on Daiquiri Francais than Matt is. I think it's very hard for any horse to impress on good to firm ground and then go on and win a heavy ground. So although she was workmanlike last time, the second has come out and won, and she may not have been in love with the testing ground. Her action suggests that she might want a little bit better ground. So I think back on a sounder surface, I know Matt says it's forecast rain, but I don't think it'll get to the extreme that it was at Windsor when she won last time. So I think back on a sounder surface, off a mark of 78, which seems lenient to me on what we've seen of her so far. I think she looks fairly solid at around 9-2. So I'll roll in a match with Daiquiri Francais.
Lovely. Lovely, tasty daiquiris then on Thursday. Right, move on to the big sales race on the card, the 210, £200,000 up for grabs. Extra places as well here, Paddy Power. 7-2 the field at the time for recording Harrow for Ushie Murphy and Andrew Balding. Ever Gibbon is 4-1, 11-2 from eights. Jazz Club for Ryan Moore and Roger Varian, who I believe is a good record in this race. 7-1 System, 10-1 Symphony Perfect, 11-1 I'm a Gambler, and 14's Bar. Paddy, you get the first choice.
Yeah, so I'm taking the way I'm approaching this race. I'm not sure if this is a clever way or not. I'm sure Matt will tell me in a minute if it is or isn't. But because they're 2-year-olds and because it's the back end of the season, and a lot of them have a lot of runs behind them, I'm thinking that might be a lot of racing for some of these, right? Because they're only young and there's a lot of them very good. They have to go for this race. It's a 200 grand race. So it's one of the ones on the calendar. You just got to go for it, right? But the one you just mentioned there, that there was money for Jazz Club, will be either fresher than the rest or somewhat less experienced, but won't have as many miles in the clock or something for a 2-year-old. And obviously won pretty well the last time. And the fact that he's not as battle-hardened in one way would be a worry, but I think that might actually work in his favour because some of these, I'm not going to say they're over the top, but you know, they might have had a long, hard season. And for a 2-year-old, that can be tricky. So Jazz Club for me at 11-2, I think is fair.
Ryan McHugh?
Yeah, I like one on a price here. I like Claim the Stars for Mark Johnson. I like Catching Jock and Bucky and Frankie Dettori as well. He's a very big 2-year-old, so you'd imagine that he'd improve at racing. He was a little unlucky not to have won by now. His last two starts, he was matched at 1-14 and 1-16 and got beaten twice. But I don't think that's down to him being ungenuine. I just don't think he's a finished article yet. So with racing, I think he'll get better and get his head in front Sunday. I'm hoping it'll be tomorrow. With all that said, I think he's a fair enough price at around 20-1. We're paying 5 places, PK, as you mentioned. So I think that's a fair enough offer considering how hard this race looks. And Claim the Stars for me at around 20-1 is the choice.
Lovely stuff. Mr. Chapman?
I'm certainly not going to diss anything that Paddy said. His logic seems perfectly acceptable. The only thing I would say is that when I look at a race like this, remember the weight the horse carries is determined by how much the horse cost. And therefore, I'm just looking in many ways for the highest rated horse with the lowest weight, i.e. a cheap horse who's managed to perform at a high level. And I came down on the side of Symphony Perfect, who has just 8'4", but is rated 85. And when you equate that to the higher weighted horses who have got higher ratings, I think it puts Symphony Perfect bang in the mix. Quite an exposed horse. It wouldn't be for Paddy, judged by his reasoning, but has fair level of form, and a fourth of a big field at York last time was a good effort behind Ever Given, who goes again. I think it's got a fair each way chance. Richard Hannon does well in these types of races. Hayley Turner will be very happy riding at 8 stone 4. I'm going to go Symphony Perfect. But again, it's a pretty tough race for the reasons Paddy said, that you're trying to do it my way, trying to bind the best rated horse with the lowest weight, but also looking for horses that might improve as well. And once you put all that together, there is quite a bit of guesswork going on.
Okay. Yeah, it should be a tough race. It is the big sales race. We'll see how they go. Three different picks there, so hopefully one of the guys lands on the winner. We move on to the first of the group races. It's the 240, the May Hill, and we have the 1,000 guineas favourite in Inspiral, I think is how you pronounce it. Inspiral. John Thady Gosden, and Frankie Dettori looking for 3 in a row with this Shibley Park-owned filly. She's 1-3 at the time of recording. She is an 8-1 favourite for the 1,000 guineas. Speak is unbeaten. 1 win, 1 run for Andrew Boulding. David Probert, 6-1. 7-1 Prosperous Voyage. Kawida is 16-1. 20-1 Rolling the Dice. Rolling the Dice, of course, John Gosden, great man for Rolling the Dice. Okay, Ryan, first off, I suppose if you are tipping up Inspiral, I want what finishes second to her as well.
Yeah, Inspiral is very hard to get away from, PK. As you mentioned, we cut her into 8-1 for the 1,000 guineas, and I think she's around 10-1 favourite as well for the Oaks next season after a really impressive win at Sandown. It must be said, she came wide that day and took off on the outside of the field and won fairly easy. She won by 3.5 lengths on that occasion. There's nothing in here really that should be beating her. Speak is the second favourite and won on debut at Kempton. It looked a weakish race, a small runner field. She did do it well, but I think Inspiral is on a different level to these, especially at the moment. It was obviously a listed race. She won the last day. She stepped up to Group 2 company tomorrow, but I'd expect her to take plenty of beating, and the betting without market will be competitive, but I'll leave that to one of the lads to try and crack it.
Oh, that's some top class fence sitting there. Matt, not a man to sit in the fence.
Okay, I'm going to look at the race slightly differently. I'm going to forget about the Mayhill as a betting race on Thursday. You don't have to bet in every race. We always tell people, bet responsibly. So I'm thinking, okay, well, if I was going to chuck a tenner at this race, if I was thinking to myself, that's what I had to spend on the Mayhill, I'll have a fiver on Inspiral for the Guineas and a fiver on for the Oaks. Because if you ask someone to name 5 1,000 guineas hopes at the moment, I think you'd struggle, even if you followed the game on a daily basis. Aidan O'Brien's produced absolutely nothing in the fillies department. He's the man you'd expect to have something. This is a lightly raced horse, only raced twice. So let's say 2 more races before the end of the season. The Mayhill, probably the fillies mile, would be the obvious way to go because she's going to win the Mayhill. So she's going to become the anti-post favourite for the 1,000 guineas, unbeaten in 4. Beautifully bred. She could easily be 6-4, 7-4 for the 1,000 guineas on the day. So that's how I'm going to look at her. She's beautifully bred. She's bred to be a classic winner. She looks really good. And there's nothing really else about for me.
Simple as that. Okay, it's a winter warmer for Mr. Chapman. Paddy, we've had 2 kind of votes for Inspiral, sort of. Your thoughts?
Yeah, funny. I was actually going to go against Inspiral. Not with any amount of confidence whatsoever, but just... I just think it might be 1-3 might be a little bit too short, because there is a chance that Speak is very good. Like, and as Matt said, nothing really has been, there's been no young, decent Guineas hope really, except for Inspiral this year so far. So maybe they're all rubbish and maybe she's not as good as she was. She just did, like, do you know what I mean? Because she's been very impressive, but Speak was very impressive in a lesser race, but Speak was very impressive first time as well. Andrew Balling's obviously had a great season too. So, look, I can't say with any... I'd love if there was 8 runners. I'd be saying each way 6-1 looks great, but there's only 7 runners. So first and sixth, maybe each way 6-1 getting 2 places. I think Speak has the potential to be very good. Nothing else can probably beat Inspiral, and Speak probably won't, but I think 6-1 is, it's too big not to have a look.
Okay. Interesting. We'll see how Speak goes. We'll see very much how Inspiral goes with a view to that 1,000 guineas and potentially the Oaks. Okay, we have got the Park Hill. It's the 315. Lots of hills. We have the Mayhill and the Park Hill. The Park Hill is a Group 2, but over a much further distance at 1 mile, 6 furlongs. 9-4, Frankie Dettori and John and Thady Gosden. Free wind, the favourite. Could be a big day. Yes, yes for Ryan Moore and Rafe Beckett, 5-1. 11-2, Silence Please. Save the Forest is 11-2. Silence Please representing Jessica Harrington. 8-1, Golden Pass. And Tribal Craft, and 12-1 big others. A few old friends actually in this race. Matt, you tipped up Eileen Dover to win when she won last time out. I think you tipped up Yes Yes to win when she won last time out. Are you sticking with a couple of old favourites?
I take them on. They've done their bit for me. Now you move on. It's like Young Love. once you've had a crack, you move on. No, I'm only joking, of course, responsible in every walk of life as well as gambling. I'm going to have a little bit each way on tribal craft. Ideally, this is a horse who would like rain to come. So if it did slightly ease the ground, that would be very much in tribal craft's favour. But I think the horse is a pretty solid each way chance. Was ridden for a place in the Lily Langtry and duly got it behind Wonderful Tonight, and wasn't totally disgraced in the Ebor. In the end, finishing just in the ruck a little bit, having hung a little bit. Maybe the ground was a bit fast, but I think basically it will be ridden for a place again and might just be a bit better than we've seen. So Tribal Craft each way at quite a decent price.
Paddy?
I go for a decent price. Well, not as decent a price, but Save a Forest for me. I just thought last time at Newmark when it won over a mile and a half, I think, was just about kind of won as if further would have been made a bit easier and would have won better. So a step up of a couple of furlongs. I've forgotten how to speak English. The step up of a couple of furlongs, I think, will be no bad
Irish,
thing.
Paddy.
Yeah, oh yeah, sorry.
Careful, man.
I was going to start talking to you in Irish, but I can't do that either. So.
Where's Jim Bowles when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. But Save a Forest for me. I think the step up and trip will bring about a good bit of improvement. And I think it's that type of race where I think free wins too short. I think yes, not totally convinced. So I think Save a Forest maybe as an improver.
I'll see if I can get Jim on the pod. I think he's on some other fellow's podcast every now and again, but I'm sure he'd love to come on and tip up horses on ITV.
As long as he's not drug testing everyone, that will be fine.
Ryan, your thoughts on the Mayhill?
Yeah, Paddy said he's not convinced, but yes. I am, actually. I'm pretty sweet on her in this.
Good.
I thought she saw the mile and three quarter really well at Chester last time, considering she didn't look to be in love with the track, and she raced very wide from about a half a mile out that day, so she actually done well to win and hold on. She beat Dancing King and Miranda, who are two solid enough yardsticks, especially when she's coming into running a race such as this. She was beaten by Paddy Selection, Save a Forest, the time before that, but that was her first run outside of novice company, and she just looked to lack the gear. So I think she meets her on better terms this time, having had that win under her belt and stepping up to meeting Save a Forest over a mile and three quarter, I should say. Although she's not that well into the rating, she's only rated 97, as a few rated higher in the race. I think she will turn out to be better filly than most at this trip. She's around 5-1 at the moment. You'll get three places. So I think she's fairly solid on Sweden. Yes.
Yes, for Mr. McHugh. Okay, we've one more race to look at Doncaster on Thursday. It's the Kazoo Handicap. It's a 7-furlong handicap, and there's going to be hopefully good to firm, goodish ground. Modern News, quite a short price value for this handicap, 11-10 for William Buick and Charlie Appleby. Mutawajed is 5-2, very much an improver for William Haggis. 7-1 Run to Freedom for Henry Candy. That's a drifter. 10-1 Seven Brothers, 11-1, and bigger the rest because the next one I can't pronounce. Paddy, you first.
So the lazy part of me, which is a large part of me, saw this race and looked at the betting and went, I don't have to look at two horses here. But I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have do a little bit more homework and scratch the surface a bit more and go a bit deeper. So I got to the third in the betting. And while I can understand why Modern News is favourite, I'm a little bit surprised that Mutawajed is as short. And the two of them, I think, are a little bit too short. And Run to Freedom, what I love about Run to Freedom, and that's the one I'm going to tip up, is that it won well last time. And then we must have been called in Henry Candy afterwards and asked about the improvement in the horse. And it's because it encountered good to firm ground for the first time and improved plenty. Now, I think there might be a lot more improvement to come from the horse, presuming the ground stays fast and that rain that Matt talked about doesn't get into the ground too much. I think Run to Freedom has been underestimated because I think you can probably forget some of his runs before that because the ground would have been very inconvenient for him. So I think Run to Freedom could be overpriced at 7-1.
Lovely. Ryan?
I'm going to keep it straightforward here. I think Modern News will take plenty of beating. He won last time back from a break. He hadn't raced in just over a year at Newmarket. He was pretty weak in the market that day, but he won a half an end, but they're well clear of the third. He went up £6 for that. He's in half a mark at 96 here. It's a similar type of race that he won the last day here again. So with the £6 rise, I think Modern News will defy it and go on to be probably a pretty decent horse.
Matt Chapman.
I'm actually going to do my selection here in the style of another regular member of the podcast. So I came to the 3:45 at Doncaster. I like the look of this handicap. I went through all my notes. I carefully prepared, really. I looked at this for some time and I studied the form for quite a lot of them, went through the handicap ratings. And in the end, I came down on the side of Modern News for Charlie Appleby and William Buick. He's a gelding, but he could be a group horse in the making for the top team. So, after my studying for some time, Modern News.
So you give Paddy Stick when he tips up the favourite, but then you do tip up your own favourite, Snowbat. It may have been in the style of Paddy Power, but it certainly is the same result, albeit Paddy didn't actually tip the favourite, did you, in this particular race?
He's okay, wish he had.
Two votes for Modern News in the concluding ITV Doncaster race. But there is a nice little bonus for us on Thursday. They are going to head to Epsom for one race. It is something of an anomaly, a curiosity. It's a Jump Jockeys Derby. So it's Jump Jockeys in a flat race. Very quickly run through the prices for this race, where there is an extra place at our table. Tralee Hills, Jamie Moore rides that, 7-2 favourite. Tom Scudamore on board Ed McCastle, that's 9-2. I think he's ridden that horse over jumps before. 5-1 Valentino Dancer for Paddy Brendan, Fergal O'Brien. 6-1 Miss Mulligan, Nick Schofield rides that. Sean Bowen rides Aced It, that's 9-1. Ascot Dave for Robert Williams is 9-1. That's 10-1 and bigger the rest. The Jump Jockeys Derby, Matthew Chapman, give us the winner.
Tom Scudamore. Look, Edinburgh Castle is one win career from 15, so it doesn't really inspire confidence, although you could argue he must be due a second quite soon. But interestingly, and not many in this race have done this, Edinburgh Castle is already a winner at Epsom. His win came at this track, so that has to be some sort of bonus. It's the kind of race Jonjo O'Neill would have liked to have laid one out for, I would imagine. And Tom has always thought of himself as a bit of a flat jockey, so I'm going to go with the Edinburgh Castle and hope that that terrible win to run ratio is improved.
Lovely. Ryan, did you have a look at this?
A brief look. As Matt said earlier on, you don't have to have a bet in every race, and this is certainly a race I won't be having.
Can't believe it. But you're a jumps man.
Yeah.
This is as close to a jumps race as you're going to get at this stage.
This is diehard stuff, isn't it? It's diehard stuff. Maybe Valentino Dancer. Fergal O'Brien's daughter won on the last day. He idled up to straight, got back up to win, looked like he might finish third at one stage. He only got up £2 for that win. Sometimes them horses can stay ahead of the handicap, but they don't do too much when they win. So Paddy Brennan's won on him over hurdles as well, so that's a bit of a positive as well, and he knows the horse. So Valentino Dancer has a tentative selection in a race.
Fair enough.
It would be such a better race if there were two hurdles in the home straight that they just put up. I mean,
down the hill, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Downhill hurdles.
Hurdle round Epps, Tatnam corner, and then there were two in the straight. I mean, if you want to attract new people to racing, that will do it.
Stick one of those double decker buses as well in the middle of the track, and they have to go around it. Paddy, Jump Jockeys Derby.
I was approaching this the same way as Matt, kind of going, God, where do we start? I said, if a horse has won at Epsom before, that's going to be a massive positive because it's such a weird track. But unfortunately, I think three or four of them have won at Epsom before. So I picked one of them, trainer in form, George Scott. I went with Miss Mulligan, 6-1 shot. Obviously not a particularly strong selection, but the fact the trainer's in form and the fact the horse has won around Epsom, that was kind of good enough to sway me in that direction.
Okay, Doug, we'll have a quick chat on Leopardstown in a second, but you've been in great form in your naps recently, lads. Really flying at the moment. So let's keep going. Nap for Doncaster on day two of their Kazoo St. Ledger Festival. Mr. Chapman, your nap.
You know what? I thought it was a very hard card to have a nap on. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be doing this with any, I mean, other than Spiral, of course, even though Paddy's gone against it, it's an absolute good thing. but other than that, I really struggled to find what I would call a really good bet. But on the basis that you're trying to find something at a little bit of a price, I'll come down on Symphony Perfect in the big sales race, Hayley Turner, at around 10-1.
Lovely. Ryan, your nap on day two.
Yeah, I'll keep it straightforward. Yes, in the 3:15.
Yes, indeed. Paddy?
Okay, I'm going to start off with my nap early in the day, get out of the way earlier. Summer's Day in the 140.
And it has been beautiful recently. Lovely, lovely stuff.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, lads, we have got one of the best weekends of racing coming up, starting this Saturday, the Irish Champions weekend, Leopardstown. Let's have a quick look ahead. There's a couple of Group 1s. Now, I asked you to just look at the Group 1s, Ryan and Paddy and Matt. So we'll start with the Irish Champions Stakes. it's building, and that little curveball of Jim Bulger throwing in Poetic Flair last week when he pulled him out of the Prix de Moulin just whets the appetite even further. I'll rattle off the prices before I'll start with you, Matt, on the Irish Champions Stakes. So St. Mark's Basilica is our favourite at the time of recording and probably will go off favourite. He's 11-8, Tarnawa 2-1, 130 Poetic Flair. It's 12-1 then for the likes of Love, Snowfall, who surely won't go, 14-1 Joan of Arc, 20s McSweeney, and 25-1 Armory and Thundering Knights. Matt Chapman, you've looked at it. Give us a winner.
Okay. Look, St. Mark's Basilica, I think, will beat Tanawa and Poetic Flair. So if you want to concentrate on the ones we know are definitely running, because let's face it, Aiden's got quite a lot of googlies in there at the time of speaking. I think St. Mark's Basilica's got too much tactical pace for Tanawa, who for me is a horse who would love to come off a very strong gallop. And it might just be that Aiden ends up trying to slow this pace down rather than quicken it. If Love was in the field, I would back her each way because I still keep the faith with her. And I think at double-digit odds, she's too talented a horse to let go off at around 10, 12 to 1. But on the basis Love isn't in the field, I would expect St. Mark's Basilica to win. I think he's the Dewhurst winner. He's a dual classic winner. He's an Eclipse winner. He's absolutely the obvious winner of this race for me.
Paddy?
Disagree. I think Tarnawa, I think, is unusually good. I mean, a horse that can win a Group 1 on firm, a Group 1 on heavy, and a Group 1 on good is something a little bit special. I understand that it's won over a mile and a half, so you know, mile and two might be a little bit short from at his very, very best, but has won over a mile and two as well. I also think, and I don't know if this really stands up, but the percentages would say that Aidan O'Brien is not having a great season, and Dermot Weld is absolutely flying at the moment. And I just wonder, is this a disappointing year for the O'Brien team? So I think Tarnawa at 2-1, I think, is tempting. And funny enough, you might actually, I shouldn't say 2-1 is tempting, because I think Tarnawa could easily be a drifter because something will come alive, I think, from the Ballydoyle team. But I think Tarnawa for me is going to be very difficult.
Can I just butt in there? Like, I think the trip is a real worry for her at this level. You know, at the end of the day, 7 of her last 9 starts have been a mile and a half. She won at a mile and a quarter in France, but the ground was heavy. And she beat Alpine Star, who arguably is a miler. So it's not rocket science to suggest she just outstayed Alpine Star, and she only beat her by a neck. The other time she won over a mile and a quarter was at the Curragh when she beat Goddess, who would be about 1,000,000 to 1 to win this. So for me, if they don't go fast, I don't think she's got any chance whatsoever. If Aiden does put in a whole load of pacemakers, then, and they go like the Clappers, maybe. But if I was Aidan O'Brien, I'd be slowing this race up to make it almost a sprint, because I don't know what Ryan feels. He's an expert on this kind of thing. But I think St. Mark's Basilica is one of those that if he was in a 6-7 furlong race, I wouldn't be absolutely sure he wouldn't travel really strongly.
Ryan?
Yeah, I fully agree with what Matt's saying about Tarnawa. I'd actually rather she had her prep run over, say, a mile and one or a mile and a quarter. Just as Matt's kind of spot on, I think, with the trip. Like, St. Mark's Basilica is a winner of a Group 1 over 7 furlongs. He's definitely the speedier horse. He's obviously looks to improve, stepped up from mile and a quarter this season. Although Tarnawa comes into this fresh, he's obviously only had the one start. That could, like, when you look at St. Mark's Basilica, he's only had 3 runs this season too, so he's off a 70-day layoff. So it's pretty similar for him. Aidan O'Brien's kept him fresh enough for this race. As I said, the mile and a quarter seems to have brought out more improvement in him. I can't have Poetic Flair turn him. I think it'll probably be straightforward for St. Mark's Basilica on the day. He's around 11-8 now, and that seems fair enough to me. As Matt said, the tactical pace he has is far superior to Tarnawa, and I think Poetic Flair will have to improve to beat St. Mark's Basilica off level weight. So for me, it's pretty straightforward as well, and I think St. Mark's Basilica will take all the beating.
I kind of hope he does, because he just becomes, he gets up that another level, doesn't he? If he wins this race, you know, to Eclipse and an Irish Champion Stakes and two classics in France. Right, that's great stuff, lads. Two votes for St. Mark's Basilica, Turnawa for Paddy. Turning to you, Ryan and Paddy, again, there is the Matron Stakes on the card. Tricky, because I think a few of these fillies are still in the Champion Stakes as well. Ryan, I'll start with you. On the Matron, any thoughts on, actually, sorry, I'll call out the prices beforehand, just in case anyone's, at the time of recording, Mother Earth, 15-8, 5-1 Joan of Arc and Thundering Knights. 11-2 Create Belief for Johnny Murta, who I believe said that she won't run if Firm is in the ground, and at the moment it's pretty quick. It's then 8-1 Opponent Plays and 10s Bar. Ryan.
Yeah, I think Pearls Galore looks a really likely runner here, so that's a start, and she's around 10-1. I think she represents a little bit of value. I think she's overpriced at that. She's only beaten a half a length by Champers Elise in a Group 3 last season, at Goran Park, I think it was, before Champers Elise went on to win that race, this race. Start. So that's really strong form. Obviously, Champers Elise is probably going a little bit backwards this season. She hasn't won. Whereas Pearls Galore is on a real upward curve. She had to win her last two Group 3 starts, the latest of which came at Tipperary. She won that convincingly the last day. Obviously, Mother Earth sets a high enough standard. As you mentioned, she's 15-day favourite in the race. But I don't think a filly that's improving can be underestimated. And as I said, Pearls Galore comes in here with a really, really good chance, I think, at around 10-1. I think it's a bit of value.
Nice, 10-1 for Pearls Galore, Paddy.
Yeah, I'm kind of coming at it from a similar angle that I think this year it seems to be much more open than usual. I mean, even some of the, like as I mentioned about the O'Brien yard, whether that's true or not, probably not fair, but even Johnny Murta, who's always in form as like no winners from 18 runners or something like that. So I'm not sure it's a crisis, but like, do you know what I mean? But just maybe they're not just really the top of their game. And just one of the big price who was very impressive last day in Group 3, I'm going to say, was Akinella for Ger Lyons. And I know it's a big step up and everything like that, but, you know, stable in form. Just this year, the chess pieces might just fall in favour of an improver and an outsider. Maybe it's Pearls Galore, maybe it's Akinella, who knows? But I think something each way in this race rather than getting stuck into something short.
Okay, before we say goodbye, we will look at the curve, by the way, in tomorrow's podcast. There are obviously loads of other group races on the Saturday card and a couple of handicaps. Ryan, has anything caught your eye on that card?
Not that I haven't gone through it enough, PK, to give you a selection.
That's fine. That's okay. Paddy, did you one for me on Sunday? No, you've got one for me on Sunday. Well, everyone will have to tune in to tomorrow's podcast because Paddy has got one on Sunday at the Curragh. And when I say he's got one, he's got a leg in it as well. So totally unbiased views on that particular animal. It will be, they always win, the ones that you fancy, of course, that you have a leg in. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Never and get carried laid, away you, at all, ever, you've
laid
ever.
It, yeah. You've laid it out to win an Irish Champions Weekend. Really uncompetitive handicap on the Sunday of Irish Champions Weekend. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. We will be back tomorrow. We'll look ahead to Friday at Doncaster and we'll also look ahead to that Curragh card on Irish Champions Weekend. Four group ones on that card. But until then, stay safe, stay well, please. As Matthew Chapman says, don't just gamble responsibly, but do everything responsibly. And if you follow Matthew Chapman on Instagram, you know exactly that is what he doesn't do. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow.